listening to the Hill City Church podcast. We hope this message encourages you and helps you to follow Jesus with everything.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you had a great week. I know some people do Friendsgiving. Some people travel and go see family. Some people celebrate on different days to accommodate schedules. I know it looks a little different for everyone, but happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great week with lots of food and fun. It looks like you guys came out of the food comas, right? Survived some Black Friday shopping? Okay. Some of you are a little bruised. I'm a little curious. Was that the Thanksgiving meal or the Black Friday shopping? But I'm glad you guys are all here. I think it's going to be a good day. I actually get to kick off our brand new series called Spent. Now, I don't know where that word hits you or what images or situations come to mind when you hear the word spent. But for me, some of you are like really excited, like, yeah, I love to do that. I love spending. I've been doing it all week. Some of you, maybe you're like starting to feel a little more anxiety, like, getting some chills. We'll talk about those things today. But for me, this transports me back, takes me back to when I was a kid. Maybe you've had this experience, but do you remember when you were younger and like for the first time you got your hands on some cold hard cash? You know what I'm talking about? Not like the coins under the couch cushions or in your father's dash in the truck or your brother's piggy bank, but like cold hard cash, like the green stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You remember holding that bill for the first time? This was a very transformative experience for me, if you can't tell. I remember this, and it was like the moment that money went into my hands and then into my pocket, it started burning a hole. You know, you've had this experience, you know what I'm talking about here? It was like all of a sudden, anything that could be bought, I just had to have it. No real good reason why, other than I had money, you know? That crisp $20 bill from grandma's birthday card had to go. And I don't know about you, but like going through the checkout counter at the grocery store with mom, I'd be standing there with this 20 burning a hole in my pocket like, you know, I didn't know it until right now, but I have always wanted some orange Tic Tacs and AAA batteries and the latest issue of People magazine. I just have to know the untold story of Hugh Jackman as like a 7-year-old. But have you seen Jay Fonda lately? Seriously, looking pretty good for 80 years old. But yeah, it was like that money, before it even was in my hands, was spent. Like it was gone. And this isn't just something that we do when we were kids. And it's not just something that we do with our money. We can be spent in our time, in our energy, and in our finances. When every minute of your day is spoken for, from the time your head leaves the pillow to the time it hits the pillow again, you are spent. When it used to be that your family got your leftover energy and attention at the end of the day, and now more often than not, it seems like you've got nothing to give, you are spent. When you are afraid of the mailman because you don't want to see any more bank statements or credit card statements, you are spent. There's no room in your schedules or your activities or your finances. Maybe even just hearing me say those words out loud is causing you some chest pain right now. Please don't have a heart attack. There's hope somewhere later on in this message, I promise you. But maybe it's kind of like stirring something in you right now, and that's good. Hold on to that. We're going to take that somewhere. But we are spent. And so often we spend our lives on this treasure hunt, constantly looking for, trying to find this fortune, that if we just had this, fill in the blank, then I'd be happy. Or if I just made this, things would be all right. But so often, that's just not how it goes. And perhaps more often than not, especially around this time of the year, we are spent in our finances. Black Friday starts creeping into Thanksgiving Thursday, and we can easily spend this holiday, instead of being thankful for what we already have, online shopping underneath the dinner table. or scouring through newspaper ads, trying to find the best deals on the best items. And I'm sure I'm not the only one whose bank account looks a little more red than green this time of year. And even though they're both Christmas colors, I'll give you that, we are quite literally spent, right? The struggle is real. And no one understood this struggle better than Christopher Newport. I'd like to introduce you to Captain Christopher Newport and tell you a little bit about his story. In 1607, Captain Newport made the dangerous voyage across the open ocean and was one of the first Englishmen to set foot on American soil. He made this journey over 2 months at open sea with 100 other boys and men in search of gold. And they were overjoyed when they finally saw land and desperate to find their fortune. Once they landed, they scoured, they searched up and down the coastline, but when they came up empty-handed, they were driven deeper inland and into the unknown. Christopher Newport spent his days exploring deep into the forest, paddling up and down rivers, scanning the shoreline, looking for any sign of a yellow glimmer beneath the surface of the water. Well, days turned into weeks and weeks into months, and it seemed hopeless. But one day, Newport pulled up along the shore, stepped out of his boat onto the muddy sand to take a break. And while he was there, the sun peeked out from behind the clouds, and all of a sudden, the entire beach started to sparkle. Newport described it like this. It was a clay sand so mingled with yellow spangles as if it had been half gold dust. It was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. He couldn't believe it. It was as if the whole land was glowing with gold all around him. It had all been worth it. All their sailing over the sea, all their searching through the forest and up and down the coast, it had paid off. They were going to be rich. There's only one problem. This particular beach was on the Potomac tribe's territory. They didn't have the rights to it. But that didn't stop clever old Chris. He came up with an idea. He took his boat back down to the settlement and loaded up a whole fleet of boats with fine furniture, food, clothing, every kind of toy, trinket, and treasure they brought with them. And he returned to that shiny shore and proposed a trade. All of their finest valuables just for the Potomac people's mud. And they gladly accepted, and excavation began. And boatload after boatload of this wet sand and silt was sent downstream, loaded onto their ship, and Christopher Newport sent a ship back to England loaded with 1,100 tons of mud filled with pyrite flakes. Pyrite, otherwise known as fool's gold. Oh, ouch. That just hurt. I'm pretty sure he's not in that line of work anymore. I think he's dead, actually, but that's a different story. But Christopher Newport isn't the only one who's been fooled. So often, we fall to the same lies, too. By the time we're age 20, most of us have seen 1 million commercials. That's like watching commercials for a year straight. Our country has twice as many shopping malls as it does high schools. More people in America declared bankruptcy this last year than graduated from college. The average American spends 6 hours online shopping each week while only playing with their kids for 40 minutes. This one blew my mind, by the way. America, the average American, spends more on garbage bags to throw away the stuff that we're done with than the rest of the world's than 90% of the rest of the world's 210 countries spends on everything. Is that crazy? Right now, the numbers show us that in the average American household, there's $10,000 of credit card debt. I'm not gonna ask for show of hands. We're not gonna, that's, the poll's over. Turkey or ham, that's as far as we're gonna do. That's enough money to provide clean water for an entire community in a part of the world where people are dying every day who don't have access to clean water. This last week, this time of year, we spend a collective $1 trillion on Christmas shopping. That's enough money to end world hunger 3 times. Isn't that crazy? We are trading true treasure for shiny sand. The stuff that kids fight over and their friendships are lost over and that marriages end over, it's all mud. And yet it fools us again and again and again. One of my favorite authors of all time, C.S. Lewis, said it like this: "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased." And the truth is, we know this, right? Like, this isn't a shock. We know this because 5-10 years ago, we thought, well, if I just made this much, things would be smooth sailing for me. But now we make this much, and we are no more happy than we were then. In fact, for a lot of us, it's the opposite, right? But we know deep down, we know standard of living and quality of life aren't the same thing. Because our standard of living can go up, but for many of us, our quality of life has not. The more stuff we have, a lot of us, our quality of life has gone down. We're more anxious. We're more worried. There's less space to breathe in our finances. Well, Jesus knew. He knew how easily we could be trapped by our treasures, how quickly we fall slave to spending. So he spoke about this stuff a lot. He taught that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? He got it. He knew how much of a hold this stuff has over us. His heart broke for those who don't have enough, and it broke for those that have more than enough. So Jesus spoke about this stuff a lot. In fact, 15% of all of Jesus' teachings centered around money and material possessions because he knew how this stuff fooled us. He talked about this more than anything else except for the kingdom of God. And he tells one story in particular out of Luke 12 that I can see myself in, and maybe you can too. So that's where we're going to be opening up the Bible today. If you want to follow along, you can do so on the screen, or if you would like to have a physical Bible in your hands, you can raise your hand. We have some awesome ushers. And can we give it up for our ushers, by the way? I don't know if we've ever let these guys know that they are amazing. They are the unsung heroes here at Hill City Church. Thank you, guys. If you want, that Bible's yours to take. If you don't have one or you like this one better, just keep it. Merry Christmas. Let me set the scene in Luke 12 for you a little bit. A huge crowd has gathered around Jesus. A lot of stories tend to start this way because at this point in Jesus' ministry, he has gained quite a reputation. People are traveling from near and far all over just to see, just to get a glimpse of this famous rabbi and hear his radical teachings. And in this particular case, this is no exception. There are thousands of people. The section literally opens with trampling all over one another just to get within earshot to catch what this guy has to say, what the master teacher has to say. The conversation is centered around topics like fear and worry and persecution. Jesus is talking about some pretty serious stuff when all of a sudden, out of the crowd, this man interrupts and yells, "Hey!" That's how I imagine him sounding. "Hey, Jesus! Tell my brother to split his inheritance with me." He's got a voice crack too. I don't know if you can tell. This is how I pictured this man. But he made it in the Bible. Good for him. So, I mean, just to maybe set the stage in a way that makes a little more sense in our context, imagine some world-renowned speaker is at the Idaho Center. Every seat in the house is filled. He is in the middle of the most intense, serious sermon you've ever heard when all of a sudden some guy stands up and says, "He's not sharing." And Jesus is, "Okay, guy." But Jesus doesn't miss a beat. In fact, he takes what this guy says and he launches into a story that, again, I see myself in this, and maybe you can too. This is what Jesus says. And he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And that's what we're talking about, right? But Jesus, this master teacher, this master philosopher, whether you believe him to be the Son of God or not, he has some incredible things to say that I think we can take away and apply to our lives. But he just summarizes it so perfectly. Who you are is more than what you have. Life is more than stuff. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. This is that story. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, to be honest, when I read that story, I was like, that sounds great. I love that. I want things to go that way for me. How do I become more like the rich farmer? Because that's awesome. That's the American dream. Works hard, things go well, gets more stuff. Bam, all set to go. Like so many of us, this farmer has a little extra come his way, and his first thought is, it's meant for him, right? We don't do this with crops and barns, most of us. There might be any farmers out there. We don't, but maybe it's a Christmas bonus, or a pay raise at work, or a lucrative opportunity, or an extravagant gift. But a little extra comes our way, just like it does in the story, and we think the same thing that this farmer does. Oh, cool. I earned that. I deserve that. That's meant for me. But Jesus goes on to give a pretty stern warning. This American dream turns into a bit more of a nightmare. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Catch this. The farmer runs out of time long before he runs out of stuff. And then what good is his stuff? He can't take it with him. Not even the ancient Egyptians with their massive pyramid-shaped tombstones and vast burial chambers filled with every kind of treasure imaginable could take their stuff with them. They were just building bigger, better graveyards. Just like this man in the story, and just like so many of us, Jesus said it like this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Jesus concludes this parable by giving this man in the audience a very sobering and stern warning. He says, "This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." Now, Jesus gives two definitions in this one verse. Greed is to store up things for yourself. Generosity is when you're rich towards God. And the image that we are left with, the final, like, haunting truth of this little tale in the book of Luke is this: that the things that we claim to own, the things that we fight with our spouse over, the things that we stretch our bank accounts a little too far over, the things we're jealous of our neighbors over, all the things that we claim to own will one day be owned by someone else. And Jesus gives you two options. You can either give it away while you're alive. You can be rich towards God. You can share it. You can be available to be a part of his kingdom, to meet needs of others. That's one of the beautiful things about generosity, is I feel like God, sometimes we look at our situations and we think, why did you put me here? Why is my life like this? But think about the person who doesn't have enough and the person that has too much. Have you ever thought that maybe God made them for one another? Isn't that a beautiful picture? But something we miss? Or we can store up things for ourselves. we can hold on tightly, and when we die, those things will be given away anyway or thrown away. If you've ever had to clean up after someone's estate, it's a sobering and humbling experience. Most of that stuff ends up in a dumpster. How many of us are just accumulating more square footage at a landfill one day? And the thing is, we know this. Again, when we watch movies, when we read books, and our favorite TV shows, the hero in our eyes is never the greedy character, right? We never look at the person who doesn't share with those in need, who hoards all of their possessions to themselves and think, that guy rocks. I'm really cheering for Scrooge in the first 3/4 of Christmas Carol, you know? That guy's awesome. No, we celebrate generosity. We celebrate the people who are willing to give big gifts and be spontaneous with their money and just available to do incredible things. That's the stuff we're drawn to. We celebrate, we love it. The problem is, for most of us, we just can't do it. There's no room left in our budget, right? There's no margin in our money. There is no space in our spending. Every dollar is spoken for before God can even get a word in. We just can't. We are literally trapped by our treasures. We are a slave to spending. Jesus puts it like this later in the book of Luke. He says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." What he's saying is this: if your money is always telling you what you can't do, then how in the world are you going to listen to what God is telling you to do? And for those of us who are Christians, this is so much of a bigger deal. If you're new to church, if you're new to the teachings of Christ, there's going to be some helpful, practical tools that you will leave with today when it comes to creating some space in your finances. But if we call ourselves Christians, we cannot miss this. We cannot get this wrong and be fully devoted followers of Christ, because we've got two masters. And more often than not, we are slaves to our money. Money is our master. It is telling us what we can and can't do before God can even get a word in. And maybe you're like, okay, yeah, that sucks. Let's do something about that guy, flannel man. What you got? Here's what I got. If you want to get serious about this, you got to have like a line in the sand moment. You got to have like that heart attack moment. The thing is, someone who's unhealthy would not be surprised if you went up to them and said, "Dude, you are unhealthy." But then they have a heart attack and they almost lose everything. And now they're ready to make a change. You see that over and over again. Well, don't wait until you are so upside down in debt that it's going to take you decades to dig yourself out. If you want to get serious about this, you get serious about it now. This is the kind of motivation Scripture tells us to have when it comes to getting outside of the hand of the lender. So do this, my son, to free yourself. Go to the point of exhaustion. Don't eat, don't sleep. Priority number one is go. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Now, I didn't fully understand this verse. It's like, gazelles? What? Is that, can I get one of those somewhere? Are they at PetSmart right now? It's like, if you, at the time, I'm sure everyone just had a pet gazelle, I guess. It was like, yeah, dude, Sophie. I don't know. But I didn't really get this passage until I started watching Planet Earth. Any David Attenborough fans out there? Love that guy. Most soothing voice. It's so, there's the gazelle over the, anyways. Love that guy. He's awesome. But my dog loves watching Planet Earth with me. He does. It's really funny to watch him watch Planet Earth. He especially loves the hunting chase sequences. You know what I'm talking about? Loves them. He's always cheering for the lion to win, always cheering for the gazelle. But this is the picture Solomon is talking about in Proverbs when it comes to getting serious about this stuff. Imagine it. Let's go there right now. Picture a herd of gazelle grazing across the African plain. You're there? Good. a cheetah steps out from beneath her camouflage in the bushes and starts silently and slowly making her approach, scanning for any sign of weakness. Once she picks her target, she explodes like a bullet out of a gun. In a split second, she's going up to 70 miles an hour, faster than any other animal on the planet. Well, the gazelle catches sight of the incoming predator, and she bursts into action too. Now, both animals flying across the African plain, legs pumping, mouths foaming. And as the cheetah closes in, she reaches out to trip her prey and misses, and the gazelle lives to see another day. Who's on Team Gazelle in that whole illustration? Team Lion? Cheetah? People? Okay. You know what's crazy? Even though cheetahs are the fastest animals on the face of the planet, they only catch a gazelle 1 in 20 times. Why do you think that is? Motivation. The cheetah runs to have lunch. The gazelle runs to not become lunch. The gazelle is deadly serious about getting away from that cheetah. How serious are you willing to get? Are you willing to run? Are you willing to get out from under the hand of the lender? Because if that's the case, you gotta stop dancing with debt. You gotta get real. You gotta get ready to run. And if you're at that point, you're like, yeah, dude, let's draw the line in the sand, man. I'm in the gazelle mode right now. That's my spirit totem. Let's do it. If that's where you're at right now, I got some practices for you. This is where you can start today on getting control of your financial situation a little bit. First of all, and you gotta do this first, you gotta track your spending. That's like the most boring action step I've ever given in church, but it's just, you seriously have to do that first. You got to know where your dough goes. Take that with you. That one's free. By the way, we're taking a second and third. I'm kidding, there's no more offerings today. But you do, and so often we treat our financial situation like a boo-boo, right? It's like, oh, if I just don't look at it, it can't be that bad. False. You gotta remove the bandage. You gotta take a good hard look at your financial situation. Until you know what your money's doing and where it's going, you can't do anything about it. You won't be able to make any changes because you just don't know. And today, we have never had more access to better technology and websites and apps when it comes to tracking and looking at our spending. There are amazing apps that I've used like Mint, Every Dollar, Unbury Me, Tiller. These are great resources. All you've got to do is find the website or app or spreadsheet that works for you and take the blinders off. Set a time, a date and time in your schedule where you're going to take the blinders off with your spouse, with your family, and take a good hard look at where you are at. Now I tried to make that sound as exciting as I could, and I get that that's not a very exciting thing. Spreadsheets. But here's the exciting thing. Once you know where your money's going, once you know what it's doing, that's when it gets exciting. That's when you can get in there and begin to do something about it. And the first thing I would encourage you to start doing, again, you can start doing this stuff today at lunch, is start rounding down. Take a big step back from our culture of consumerism that says bigger and better and newer and now. Take a big step back and try rounding down. Get a water cup instead of a meal deal. Try it. These little things add up. Make coffee at home instead of your 12-ounce grande, latte, macchiato, whatever you get. Just try making a cup of coffee at home. Pack a lunch. Don't get that upgrade. Try rounding down, and the little things, those little things start to add up and build momentum, and you will feel that momentum. You will feel an energy when it comes to rounding down. The same kind of addictive energy we feel in spending, you will start to experience in reverse. You will start to experience a freedom in your finances like you never have before. And you can do this in big things too, but start small. I don't want you to get overwhelmed too quick. Start small, but you can do this in big things. You can get the used car. Maybe with a little more miles. You can go on a staycation instead of the all-inclusive resort across the world. You can get the apartment that doesn't have the clubhouse pool. that you'll use one time. But I guarantee you, once you start looking for opportunities to round down, to spend less, you will find them literally everywhere, every single day. Today, within the hour, you will find these opportunities. Let that momentum start to build. Round down, don't spend up. This next one is probably the hardest one, especially in light of like Christmas shopping and deals week, is wait and save. That doesn't sound exciting, but give me a second. Here it is. It's pretty exciting. Like time and like energy, money is limited. But unlike time and energy, money can be borrowed. It has never been easier for us to spend, to charge without feeling anything. Websites now have buttons that if your credit card information is in there, you don't even have to preview stuff. It's called buy now, one click. You don't even have to do the mathematics of how much money you had and how much money you'll have now and how much money is going out. It's never been easier with access to credit cards to spend money that we don't have, right? And what happens there is when your standard of living goes like this, and your income goes like this, there's some big problems that happen in there, right? So here's a really crazy idea. Try not spending, even if it's on sale, even if it's a great deal, even if it's finally available in that color. Just wait and save. And here's what will happen. Here's what's beautiful. Again, I don't want anything from you today, but I do want this for you, is when you start to say no to things that you didn't even know that you were saying yes to before, but when you start saying no to certain purchases, you know what starts to grow in your heart is contentment. All of a sudden, when you used to feel this anxiety and this pressure to get new clothing, to upgrade your wardrobe every single season of the year, all of a sudden you find that you are perfectly happy wearing out your old clothes. When all of a sudden you were constantly comparing what you were driving on the road to what people next to you were driving, people you didn't know, people you didn't care about, but you suddenly felt this need to impress them, all of a sudden you're okay in your Neo, your Geo. Your contentment starts to grow the more that we say, no, I've got all these cool rhymes today for you guys. Write that down. You don't even need to write it down, just memorize it. But try this with your wardrobe. Try this when there's an upgrade available. Just don't upgrade, even though you can, even though you've always upgraded, just try not doing it. You will get something out of that experience the more you do it. And it's contentment, and it brings so much peace with it. Try that out. And maybe as we talk about this stuff, maybe you're freaking out a little bit right now. Maybe this sermon has been really overwhelming for you because you're sitting there, you feel like I'm looking at you the whole time, but I'm trying to give everyone equal eye contact, okay? It's not just you. I have piercing eyes. But maybe you're thinking, I am so upside down in debt. My world is so financially out of control. I just don't know how this could ever turn around. Man, if that is where you are at, here's what you need to do. As soon as service is over, maybe even before service is over, if you've got like the gazelle thing going on, if you're like, maybe go as soon as I'm done. But I want you to march out of this room. I want you to beeline it straight across the lobby, and I want you to sign up for Financial Peace University at the Connect Table. This class is amazing. I've taken it 3 times and in different stages of my financial journey every time. As a student in high school, as a student in college, as a young father who's now feeding mouths, who knew that would happen? But here's what I want you to hear. There's absolutely hope for you. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a version of your life where you're not afraid of the mail anymore. Where you're not fighting with your spouse about money anymore. Where you have room in your life to love people, to be spontaneous, and to follow God with your finances fully. And Steve and Lisa Hanna are going to tell you how to do it. Right, guys? See, these guys are amazing. They do such a phenomenal job with this class. They are going to be using the time-tested curriculum from Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. They're going to tell you about the debt snowball. They're going to give you different baby steps you can take and implement immediately every single week to slowly get in control of your finances again. There is hope. And for all of us, no matter what stage of our financial journey you are in, as you create more margin with your money, more space in your spending, you will experience more freedom in your finances.